Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You've not seen that.
Hello there. Welcome to this fan critical special episode of How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That?
Yay.
I am your host for this evening, or day, depends. Oh, that's the beauty of the podcast, isn't it?
Rah.
Well, don't give it away yet. beauty of the podcast is you can listen to it at any time in the day whatsoever. So I am Gaz, your host for this particular episode. I'm joined by, if I was going to start a biker gang, you two would be top of the list of the other biker gang that I would want to kill.
Oh, clowns.
No, I'm joking. I'd love to have you in my biker gang, boys. I've got Len. Say hello, Len.
Hello. Nice to be here talking about this all-time classic. And this is my favourite thing, because the next person you're going to introduce is someone who, when I watch things like this, I would love to know what they think about them, because it's just so bizarre.
Mm. Yes. And thanks for foreshadowing that. The next person I'm going to introduce has not seen the movie that we're going to discuss today, and that is John. Hello, mate.
Hello. I mean, I hadn't seen it.
He has seen it now.
Disastrous if I was doing this pod and go, oh, yeah, no, it was all right. I haven't seen it, but, you know, two bloobs.
Yeah.
Don't be giving it that.
Wow.
All right. Well, look, I mean, we call this series How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? And I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with the two of you, because I wasn't on the last episode of this, and I'm struggling to understand how we've come to do this film. And I'm going to tell you, I'm delighted that we get to do this film, because it's... I won't go into too much detail about how I feel about it, but I'm delighted to have the opportunity to watch it again and to talk about it. I'm confused as to how we're having a go at people that haven't seen it, because certainly these days, in the part of the world that we live in, it's a little bit of a niche movie. What do you think?
This is no more niche than Spirited Away. This, for me, is the thing that brought anime and sort of manga to the Western world. Now, you whatever you say about it, it's people will know this film. Now, I think it is, you're right, Gareth, it's a cult classic in terms of the fact that the audience numbers will be quite small seeing it, but everyone should watch this film. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen this film, just listen to us talk about it, because it's hilarious. In terms of, I know it's going to be a good podcast, but also go and see the film.
Obs.
Because it's going to get a good score from me and Gaz. It's probably going to get a shit score from John, because it's not up John's alley.
Honestly. Yeah?
So, but just stick with us. Go watch the film and come back, or just listen to us ramble about it and then go watch it. Whatever. It is a great film.
I mean, yes, correct. It is. I think I'm going to give you a bit of credit here, John. I guess what I'm saying is, I feel a little bit harsh saying, how the fuck have you not seen that?
Well,
when we're talking about this film.
It's, I'll let you into a little secret. This was on a list of films that I illegally copied on a CD.
Excuse me,
yeah, broke the law,
Jonathan.
So there you go. But I've burnt it now, so, you know, you won't get me on that. There's no evidence. But yeah, this was on a list of films. I was like, oh yeah, definitely want a copy of that. And I'll watch that one day. And that was over 20 years ago. So I'm glad to have seen it now. I think if you're talking about the context of, you know, someone that's a podcaster of films, and, you know, I did fucking film at uni, this is something I should have seen.
Yes.
It would be on a list of films that it's like, You know, if someone went, oh, I've never seen Casablanca, you might go, well, you know, I mean, yes, yeah, it's a black and white film and it was made about 70 years ago. So, yeah, fair enough. But if you're a film student, that's unforgivable. So,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess in that context, it's definitely one I should have seen, much like Spirited Away, I guess. I guess just for the historical significance of, you know, anime breaking into the American market, the fact that it's, you know, at the time, one of the, I think it had the largest budget in Japanese animation up until that point.
All right, let's not rip through all of my notes.
And also, just going through your notes quickly.
Two notes.
Oh, I'm not reading that. That's shit. What's Liverpool? What have they got to do with this? Yeah. Just so I'll save it. But look, it's significant in terms of film history. I should have seen it. I now have. And you'll know my thoughts shortly.
All right. We have danced around this long enough. We are covering today the 1988 cyberpunk post-apocalyptic anime that is Akira. I was going to start us off actually today with a quality quote that I came across in my research here. There was everything else, and then there was Akira. And I think actually, in a lot of ways, when you're talking about, if you're talking about anime and its influence in the Western world, that is very apt. Depending on your context, it might not be so apt. We probably can't go, oh yeah, the history of mankind, we can break it down into two periods, pre-Akira and post-Akira. But definitely, without doubt, anime, we can break it into those two periods. As I said, I'm delighted to cover this film. Len, what, you've seen it. You've seen it recently for this, hopefully, but you had seen it before as well. Can you maybe outline your personal experiences watching this movie?
Yeah, to be honest, I hadn't seen it. So I watched it last night for the first time, I reckon, in 10 years or more. And it's one of those films, you don't always revisit it all the time. It's not like Spirited Away. We covered Spirited Away earlier in the series, and I reckon I watch that film once every 6 months or something. I just absolutely adore watching that film.
What do you mean?
I definitely do.
Why are you watching that once every 6 months? Come on.
Me and Gaz watch it drunk regularly, if anything, and then we always talk about how weird it is when we're absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
But
why is your hand there?
let's reenact that scene, the kissing scene. Let's reenact that.
If you've watched Spirited Away, that'll make good sense.
If you haven't, you've already turned off.
Yeah, probably. So I was watching it last night in preparation for this, and it's on the eve of one of the most anticipated games of all time, arguably coming out, which is Cyberpunk 2077, which is literally essentially set in like a city called Night City, which essentially just looks like Neo Tokyo in this film. So I'm sitting there watching Akira, and then the next day I'm like, I know I'm going to go pick up Cyberpunk. So I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. I'm getting so in the mood for that game right now. And yeah, as I said, I hadn't seen it for over a decade easily. And when I watch this film, it brings back so many memories of seeing something that completely changed my perception of what cyberpunk is, but then also just opened the doors and the shutters to that world in a way that I hadn't really had since I watched something like Blade Runner, for example, which is a bit different. Obviously, it's a different sort of, it's got the same sort of vibes at times, but this goes in a completely weird offshoot tangent. And it's that idea of anime and manga, and this is the thing that got me into it properly, into shows like Attack on Titan and all these other shows I watch now, because just the creative elements to it and the scale of it and just some of the, I don't know, the creature design and the ideas all melding into this, you know, kind of like gross Akira-like thing at the end. It's just incredible. And it has to be seen to be believed. I think if you haven't seen this film or haven't watched much anime, to watch this film will literally blow your mind in a good way or a bad way. You might watch it and go, I don't even know what the fuck's going on here. This is terrible. Or you might watch it and go, what is this? Is amazing. Wow. Like, how, what the, that motorcycle's cool.
Wow.
And look, he's psychic and that. And what's the,
are you,
they,
are
were,
you taking,
they were best
are you
friends.
Taking quotes?
Yeah,
you're taking, quotes, taking quotes from the sure. advertising posters, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was what they advertised with in the Western world. That was that literal translation from Japanese. But no, for me, it's just mind-blowing. And I think there are very few things that you can watch that will surprise you as much as something like Akira. So for me, it's a Five Blueberry film just because of the way that I remember it so fondly and the way it opened my mind to a whole new genre that I didn't even know that I wanted to watch, but now I watch constantly. So that's why for me it's a Five Blueberry film.
So I didn't ask for your blueberry score just yet, but thanks for sharing it. Do you want to just quickly quickly tell us what the blueberry system is, just in case John's forgotten?
Yeah, so the blueberry system, in case John has forgotten, is it's a scale from 0 to 5. It's how we rate everything. You can have no halves. It's a very harsh but fair scale. And this is a arguably one of the best animations of all time. So it's a 5 blueberry from me. That's all I have to say. Also, I will say we've had conversations.
That's all I have to say. And also,
yeah,
I will say.
Sorry, I just remembered we had a conversation, or we've had several references to the fact that blueberries cannot be halved because it's just silly. And then we've had people write in and say, well, they feed their babies half a blueberry or whatever. I have a Great Dane, and I did half a blueberry for her the other day, and she got very upset. So then it's proof that you can never half a blueberry. So now I only give her full blueberries. So that's
is that
all
not
poison?
I'm
that.
Sure that's poisonous for a dog. Is that not poisonous?
Nah, they're fine. Nah, they're fine, mate. Apples, Blues. Bananas, blueberries.
You've not even looked it up, have you?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure you're killing your dog. Anyway,
no, it's fine because the blueberry was coated in chocolate, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
It was, it's a massive dog as well. Probably fine.
It's
big
one.
Fine.
All
right, John, I'm going to save you until last as the newcomer to this film. I've probably got similar history to Len with this film in that I first watched it maybe 12 years ago, I'm thinking I was at uni. I was about 20. Yeah, that sounds about right. And it was a film that I'd heard of and I knew about, but I had actually already sort of got into anime through Studio Ghibli, and so that was my exposure. Studio Ghibli is one thing. Akira is something else. And the way that I guess it's very similar, Len, in that it just showed me something that I didn't know existed and I didn't know I wanted. And when I watched that film, I was just swept away by it. I think you have to recognise that as a film, I'm gonna talk about this in a little bit more detail later, so I won't go into too much at this point, but as a film, it does have some narrative structure challenges. And that's particularly the case from a Western-influenced background, where we're used to a certain way of telling stories. And that does need to be acknowledged, and it needs further exploration shortly. But aside from that, the world building is phenomenal. Neo Tokyo just looks incredible. The way that they introduce you to Neo Tokyo through the biker gangs is amazing. That sense of lawlessness and
it's like just, the Warriors.
Warriors.
One of John's favourite films. It's a similar vibe, but you just get introduced to
very stressed out groups of Warriors.
Just scan on. Everybody seeing a therapist.
I'm worried.
Warriors, come out to see your therapist. The sound design is like, it's really unusual, but it's phenomenal. The art is phenomenal. It is absolutely incredible. The influence that it's had on anime generally, and particularly anime in the West, phenomenal. Give me another word if you can, but it seems to be filling the boxes that I need filling here. I just think it's like a devastating movie. It's beautiful. It's intelligent, and it's so important that I can't give it anything less than 5 blueberries. So that's my score. I think it was only my third or fourth watch of it as well, because I don't think it's a film that you kind of necessarily want to rewatch all the time.
Definitely not.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take on. But when you do watch it, it's particularly that first half is just mind-blowing. J-Mac, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, do you know, I'll give you my score immediately, because you know I don't want to scare anyone, and also it's one of those that I'd sleep on it because my score has switched constantly.
Yeah. Okay.
And not in the way that.
Now?
Well, I'm just saying, not all films that get a 2 are terrible. No. So with Spirited Away, I kind of flitted between the 4 and 5, and actually, when I'd slept on it, I woke up and I was like, actually, that was. I think the word I used was charming, and I suspect that when it comes to Studio Ghibli or Ghibli. That will resonate in quite a lot of their films. You know, you get some little fucking purple blob
thing
with a little bit of, with a wig. You know, that's a bit mad. Why would a monster have a wig? I just don't understand it.
That sounds cute.
What's that thing in McDonald's? The purple thing. What's the purple thing in McDonald's? You know, the big thing that's friends with McDonald's.
Grimace.
Yeah, that's all I've got in my head right now. Just a little grimace.
Bad, you go, why is he an accountant as well? It's just, it warms to you, because you're just thinking, you know, why would you allow this? Why would you allow a blobby purple monster that wears a wig to do your taxes for the year? It's mental, but it's charming. And if you want to go and see that film, no, it doesn't exist, but it could do.
Have you made any donations to charities?
Have you been drinking?
And would you like fries with that?
Yeah. He's an alcoholic as well. So I find that quite charming. With this, I flitted between a 3 and a 4. I think the appreciation of what it would have been in 1988, a film like this, has eventually pushed it to a 4. I will say,
ooh, that's nice.
Of most of the films that I've seen that I would rate as a 4 bloob, I would almost certainly be happy to go back and watch it. This is not one of them. The last 20 minutes of this film, honestly, I hated it. Really hated it. A lot of it was just so just tropey and shit. And I was just like, why is he now a big blobby monster? Like, oh man, honestly, do better.
Is it tropey now? But back then it wasn't.
Yeah,
a trope,
potentially.
If you get what
they,
I mean.
No.
They created the tropes.
No, no, they didn't. Not in 88.
Yes,
no,
they
way.
Did.
No way. No yes. way. No.
What?
No.
How many,
not, all right, no,
tell me,
it's not
tell me
like,
which giant blobby movies you watched before 88.
Yeah, I told you, the one with Where Is the Accountant? I was just like, I can't be doing with this. You know, hey man, you are my best friend, and now we're enemies. Oh, whatever.
They didn't say that.
No, well, he could have done. Fucking hell, some of the dialogue is stilted, but I'll let it go because it's anime.
Yes.
The beginning of this film. In fact, I'll sum it up for you. the first minute or 2 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is going to be fucking good. You know, you've got, you know, a tagline that it's like 30 years or 31 years, whatever it is, 30 years, I think, after World War III. You just see this decimation, and the sound is like, I mean, it's eerie. It's not a big boom. Oh, man, everyone's dead.
It's drums.
It's just...
It's like these eerie drums.
You know, something happened. You know, it was a nuclear war or something. You know, something's happened.
Or something. Something.
So don't worry about that. That's
something's gone on there.
Everyone's dead now.
I can tell something's happened there.
Everyone's dead 30 years later. Get on with it. And I was like, oh, wow. I mean, that is... You know, that's punchy. And then you've got the bar scene. You've got these fucking creepy guys. I think there's a few people just getting off with one another. I'm pretty sure I see some hands going down some knickers. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Fucking
and then
hell.
And then, you started watching Akira again.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I can't be that bored already, can I? And I thought, yeah, this is going to be good. And then there was just a lot where it was kind of like, there were so many characters at the beginning, I wasn't really sure who I was supposed to be following. And then in the end, like, I think there's a scene about 15 minutes in where you've got the whole biker gang. And it's like, I couldn't tell you what any of their names were. There were people propping up and I was like, who is that? Is that this person? Or some of them look very similar, very similar. And they've decided that, you know, the one guy that is going to be the bad guy, well, sort of the bad guy, they just give him a massive forehead. Like that's how you're going to be able to tell. You know, he's not perfect like Canada. You know, he doesn't have brilliant hair. He's got a bit, his forehead's a bit big and his hair's a bit shit. So make him the evil one. So yeah, I mean, there was lots of it going on. Also, there's bits even now where I'm like, who is this guy that's working in the office that, I mean, has he betrayed the rebels? I don't really
Grimace.
Know what's going
we
on
We told
here.
You that already.
We told you about Grimace.
So, yeah, I give it a 4 bloob. I have absolutely no interest in watching it again. I remember saying this after Endgame, that even though I gave that 4 Infinity Stones out of 6. I know, bizarre scale. You can half them, you can't. I was so disappointed. And with this, genuinely, at the end, I was so disappointed. But that's because the standard is there, isn't it? You know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you got this, one of the great films. And you watch it and you're like, I can appreciate its impact, but for me, it's not something where I'm like, oh man, that's blown me away. It really didn't. And a lot of that is to do with the narrative.
Yeah, I mean, you've pointed out some of your concerns. And I think, as I touched upon earlier, they are basically around the narrative structure and the way that the story is told. There is a very... That's a very valid criticism, and there's a very real reason as to why that's the case. So, film's directed by a chap called Katsuhiro Otomo. Katsuhiro Otomo. And he also happens to be the same guy that wrote the anime, the manga. So, the manga is fucking massive, right? It's in 6 parts, it's 2,000 pages long, and I think part 1 came out in 1982, part 6 came out in 1990, right? So the film came out before the thing was actually finished, and the film, he decided that he was going to direct it. Surprisingly, maybe, he like brutally just cut shitloads of content out. And so the film is essentially the first half of part 1 of the anime and the last part of part 6 of the anime. And I think that shows sometimes. There is so much, there are so many sort of massive stories that could easily be a movie on their own that are given kind of 30 seconds for you to be like, right, I think I get what's going on here, but I don't know. And I think that's the problem. It's not really an excuse for it, because, you know, if a film doesn't stand up on its own, that doesn't mean like you're anybody's wrong to say, well, I didn't get it because there's not enough there for me. You shouldn't have to go and read a 2,000 page manga to understand a movie, but that's just a bit of background for you, a bit of context as to why perhaps you have got that impression.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've spoken about this before when you talk about adapted screenplays, and when they're done very well, like, look, there's an Oscar for it, because it's like, fucking hell, sometimes it is majorly impressive. I enjoyed the Watchmen film, whereas those that were like so tied to the graphic novel hated it, because it was like, there's too much in here to turn it into, you know, a 2.5 hour film. And I suspect, Akira, the live action movie, has been like touted for like 20 years now. And I guess they're probably going to have that same issue where it's like, well, do they adapt the animated movie or do they adapt the manga? And if they were to adapt the manga, it is the only way to do that, you know, making a trilogy of movies, and even then you're squeezing in a lot, or do you turn around and, you know, someone like fucking HBO or something like that, adapt it into, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 season series?
Jordan Peele was attached to it for a very long time. I don't know if he still is or isn't, but he was, he had the reins last time I checked.
No, I think it's interesting. Taika Waititi.
Which is also another left field decision, but he's great. So, and he handles sci-fi actually surprisingly well. So, I think he'll do a fantastic job. If you've seen some of his work on The Mandalorian, also excellent, the episodes where he's directed. So I have full faith in him, 100%.
So the latest apparently is that he's put it on hold at the moment.
Michael Bay.
Go and direct Thor.
Oh my God.
And he's put Michael Bay in as a placeholder.
Can we just talk about... there was a moment in this film where I hadn't seen it, obviously, for a decade, and I didn't know John a decade ago. And I was just watching this film, and there was a moment where I forgot about the Espers, you know, the three kids. I forgot about them for a split second, and then they turn up, and there's the one in the plane who's sort of working with the colonel to try and get... Kyoko back, I think.
I'm not gonna spoil your story, but I'm gonna say I know exactly what you're going to say, and I thought the exact same thing.
So there's like one of the kids is called Masaru, and he's like this little he looks like John,
Japanese for McCann. Masaru was Japanese for McCann.
So yeah, Masaru, number 27.
I'm not wheelchair bound. He's wheelchair bound.
But mate, he looks, honestly, anyone who's our listeners who knows what John looks like, Google them.
No,
he
but looks, it definitely,
he looks
definitely used
just
to be.
Like your anime character. He is essentially your anime character. And I was watching it, and I was a bit delirious because it was like midnight when I was watching it. And I was like, what's John doing in this film? Honestly, I couldn't believe it. I literally had a little chuckle to myself.
Yeah, so good. I'm surprised you only gave it 4 bloobs, John.
Because you're in it.
You're in it. Now, normally at Fan Critical, or often at Fan Critical, we do go through our media scene by scene. We're not going to do that with this film, I will give you kind of a quick overview, which is quite long. So I'm going to go through it. I'm going to read through it quickly. Can you two stop me if there's something you want to discuss? Otherwise, just let me ramble through it as quickly as I can. All right. I'm going to take like a deep breath and just go for it. Oh shit, I just wasted that deep breath telling you that's what I was going to do. Let's go again. In 1988, something resembling a nuclear bomb hits Tokyo, destroys the entire city. In 2019, 31 years later, Neo Tokyo is a dystopian megacity rife with lawlessness, violence and civil unrest. We're introduced to Kaneda and his biker gang, including his pals such as Tetsuo. One night, in an attack on a rival gang, the Clowns, Tetsuo collides with a mysterious-looking boy who happens to be called Takashi, Kevin, who has mysterious powers. He's a bit like Kevin. Is certainly home alone. Tetsuo crashes into him. That incident awakens some powers within Tetsuo, who is captured by some sort of mysterious government operatives. He becomes aware of something or someone called Akira and is determined to find out who or what that is. Tetsuo's powers get a bit mental. He gets very destructive. He is desperate to find Akira. All of this is happening against a background of civil unrest, violent cults, bubblings of chaos, essentially, in Neo-Tokyo. Tetsuo ends up going on a rampage, killing people, destroying parts of the city, going through Neo-Tokyo, the military, the government, and some other mysterious children with special powers are trying to stop him, as well as his old pal, Kaneda, and the surviving members of his biker gang. He continues to eventually discover Akira, who is no more. His internal organs have been frozen, but he does discover that Akira was the cause of the explosion back in 1988, the explosion that destroyed Tokyo. And essentially, he discovers that he is himself very similar to Akira. Tetsuo loses control, turns into a mental blob monster. Akira sort of comes back to try and stop him. There's another major explosion kind of thing which destroys Neo-Tokyo. Tetsuo and the other mysterious children, test subjects, espers, etc., all go into that tiny explosion, massive explosion that turns into a tiny explosion, and are now in another dimension. The survivors, including Kaneda, dust themselves off and prepare to start again.
That's the whole film, mate.
That's the film.
Yeah.
Well, that's you say that, but there are some huge subplots that have been missed out there. There's a character called Kay, who I haven't touched upon at all, who in the manga is arguably the main character. It's very much, there isn't a focus on a specific character, but if there was, Kay is one of the main ones. She's just a love interest in this, really, in the film.
She's disappointing.
Yeah.
It's all about that with you, isn't it,
then? Barely touched upon Kaneda's journey. There's Kaori, who's Tetsuo's girlfriend, who I didn't talk about at all. It's an incredibly complex story. There is a lot going on there. Now, I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, it can be in that abridged version of the story that I've given, or outside of it. Do you have any favourite, any personal favourite moments in the film? Any scenes that stick out for you or live long in the memory? J-Mac, we'll kick off with you.
The guy that tries to blow up everyone in the police station, grenade out, and he's like, fuck you! Freedom to whatever, and then just pulls it and it just fails on him. The beating that takes place after that, where everyone just piles in and just kicking his head in. I was like, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
Even funnier when the bomb eventually goes off, or the grenade eventually goes off later on in the scene. I thought that was really good. Really, like, actually in terms of like comic timing and stuff, particularly in the 80s, because otherwise it would be tropey. I loved it. I love that. And there's loads of bits later on in the film where it's like you've got protesters and then just these policemen just coming out of nowhere, or special forces just kicking the shit out of them. I was just like, this is hilarious. Mm. And also, look, it's mirrored in life at the moment. So, you know, you keep complaining, people, but eventually we'll get a new Akira and he'll blow everyone up. So, you know, rein yourselves in, go home, watch Netflix. Yeah, the worst of, if you wish.
This is a bloody film. Like, let's be fair.
Fact.
You've picked out one bloody scene. There are many to be had. So
Anime now, though, it's not that bad. Like, I was rewatching it obviously yesterday, like we all were, and I was watching it going, I thought it'd be more visceral and violent, and it wasn't as violent as I sort of remember. In fact, some of the times where it has a chance to go ultra violent, it actually reins in quite a lot.
Ultra violent activated.
If you watch stuff like Attack on Titan, now, it's just blood everywhere and limbs, and you know, this is not, at the time it wasn't tame, but now it is tame, I think, personally.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, what about the bit where, you know, the rebels helping little Kevin, helping him escape, and he's already been shot at this point. And Kevin's like, let's go. Come on, we need to get out of here. I'm a little disgusting little goblin kid. And it's like, okay, just hold on. Let me just shoot these dogs dead. And then he gets shot and then just obliterated in like a RoboCop style just massacre.
Yeah, RoboCop style shooting. There's another RoboCop style shooting with Kay and her revolutionary gang in the sewers from one of those like flying gun machines. Kay shoots somebody in the mouth and he dies and sits there in the sewers with bloody face.
I just remember it being worse. I just remember it being a lot worse. And I'll go on to what I think. Obviously, the main part of the film is obviously the relationship between Tetsuo and Kaneda, and I really enjoy their confrontation before it goes to Blob Town, which is the bit basically where Kaneda is confronting him with the giant laser cannon, and I really like the back and forth that goes on there. You also have Kay involved, and she's sort of been possessed by the Espers and has powers at that point. But the whole relationship between Kaneda and Tetsuo, I think, is quite beautifully done throughout the film. You get little snippets and flashbacks every now and then of what they were growing up as kids, and you get this sort of inferiority complex that Tetsuo has. And, you know, it all stems from that initial conversation about the bike, where Tetsuo's sitting on his bike and then Kaneda's like, you can't drive that bike. There's no way you'd be able to drive that bike.
Yeah, get off it, you shit idiot.
Don't even try.
Why are you
it,
talking
mate?
To me like that? Yeah, in front of all the rest of the gang. What's your problem?
Even when Tetsuo has all these crazy powers, he just wants the bike. Like, he wants to ride the bike. So for me, it's kind of like just that whole relationship between those two characters. I do think does really shine through in this film. And at the start, you're kind of like, Kaneda, you're a bit of a dickhead. But then at the end, you sort of love Kaneda. Like, I really love Kaneda. I think, you know, I think he sacrifices himself to try and save Tetsuo. When Tetsuo has killed one of his friends, Tetsuo has also only one. And destroyed most of the city and is trying to go apocalyptic on everyone, he still sacrifices himself to go and save Tetsuo. And that is a strong moment. And I love the little flashbacks of them at school when Tetsuo, you know, had his first day and, you know, they both got beaten up and they sort of bonded over that. And it's really sweet. And there is a heart to this film, even though there's all this crazy stuff going on. And the, like Gaz said, the backdrop of dystopian society and civil unrest and all this other stuff that goes on. It's a simple story about two best friends who have known each other throughout their whole lives. And there's obviously been some sort of tension there between them, or, you know, Tetsuo feels, you know, that he's been slighted by Kaneda, but ultimately knows that they do love each other. And there's that sort of reconciliation in a way at the end. And it's quite sweet, really, at the end of the day, even though there's all this crazy shit going on. So I quite like it because of that, personally.
Isn't it a little bit annoying when, you know, they get the little showdown and he turns up with a little laser gun that, you know, Tetsuro's, I mean, his powers, I mean, they're a bit just inconvenient, aren't they? It's like...
Yeah, of course. Like, Let's have an even battle.
And then suddenly it's like, all right, now he's flying up into space and blowing up a satellite. Like, I mean, what's going on here?
I think there's part of it.
A bit of license with it, I think.
I think part of it as well, because, you know, you watch and Kaneda's got an opportunity several times to shoot Tetsuo in the head with this laser thing. And he goes, Tetsuo, heads up, before doing it. And I was like,
they don't want to kill each other.
Hey, Tetsuo, I'm going to kill you now in the head.
Yeah. look out, Tetsuo, I'm going to shoot you in a minute. He doesn't want to do it. That's the thing. I think you've explained it really well, Len. I agree with you. I think they could have given more time to the relationship before Tetsuo's collision
It's quite quick.
With what's his name? With the Esper. Because it's only from that point that you really see that relationship between Kaneda and Tetsuo. It would have been nice to have had that foundation initially. But I agree. I think that's a beautiful centerpiece of the movie. I'm gonna go for something maybe slightly less deep and meaningful. Just a moment that just I love because it terrifies me and it sticks in your mind and is proper nightmare material. And it's when Tetsuo's in like the hospital and the little versions of the toys are crawling across his bed.
Yeah, and then, it's weird that.
And then he looks up and all the toys come together to form that giant teddy bear that starts like leaking milk. And it's terrifying. It is terrifying. Jesus Christ. I love it and I hate it at the same time. And that's what film is supposed to do.
And the visions that Tetsuo has, which are sort of flash frames at times, are very disturbing. Like,
yes.
He has moments where he sees himself kneeling over and spilling out his innards all over the floor. And it's only a flash frame, but they're these very visceral, disgusting, very mind... But when you're not in that mood, like, you're just watching film. At this point, you're not expecting stuff like that. And for it just to be literally shown to you quite violently... as these flashes, it really puts your psyche on the back foot about what's going on. And I kind of feel like when I remember first watching this film, like, what the fuck is going on here with these quick edits? Like, and as editing's my job, I was like, oh, this is impressive. Like, I don't know, it's making me feel things. And it made me feel things last night when I watched it. So it is kind of like you lose your mind with Tetsuo a little bit.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I always visualize my innards spilling out everywhere, obviously.
Classic, Len.
And giant teddy bears. To be fair, I do sometimes have nightmares about Chucky from Child's Play coming to kill me. So, and that is genuine. So,
but that's because your parents literally let you watch that when you were 5 years old.
Right.
That
is a little toy. Yeah. It's a toy, isn't it?
That's too much.
It traumatized me for years, man. Years.
It's hilarious. I love it. I
had to have counseling and everything.
Forced him to watch it.
Yeah. It's Saturday. Yeah. You know what
that'll teach you. That'll teach you, Alex. That'll teach you for not doing the dishes.
You need to do the fucking dishes.
There are no dishes.
But mummy, I'm 5 years old. I don't know what is a dishes. Shut the fuck up, Alex. Watch Charles fucking play.
Watch Charles play. You fuck. all right. And and then you modelled your look on Chucky as well, which is nice.
Yeah. No, Chucky from Rugrats. Chucky from Rugrats, not Chucky from Child's Play.
That's true. Yeah, it's not a bad shout. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to get to the quiz.
So I've got a little quiz
for you, J-Mac, just to check that you've actually watched it. But before we get there, I did just want to run through a little bit of a summary of the influence that this film has had. And this is not doing it justice at all. But it's fair to say that it is a huge reason that anime has any level of popularity in the Western world, the English-speaking world, or the Eurocentric world. Before Akira, there was very little exposure in the West. It's arguably one of the origins or the driving... forces behind the popularity of cyberpunk as a genre at all. Like it existed, but this was a pivotal moment, especially kind of the 80s version of cyberpunk, which I think is kind of the prevailing vision of cyberpunk that we have these days. It was at the time, it was the most expensive anime film, and that was a significant investment, but it made its money about 100 times over. And just an interesting thing that I read about this, just an analysis of Akira, how in the Western world, sci-fi films tend to look at technology as it ends up being a way that helps the heroes save humanity. And in Akira, and this is kind of been a lasting legacy of Akira as well, but in Akira, it's technology is a tool that is destined to doom humanity. And you know, that in itself could be a legacy of Japan's World War II history, of course, as well, which, you know, we're not going to get into on this podcast, but it's just interesting.
In our other one we will, though, so tune into that one. World War II cast.
World War II cast. I'm going to just give you this list, right? Credited with setting the scene or inspiring the following: Pokemon, Dragon Ball, Naruto, Ghost in the Shell, Cowboy Bebop, Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy VII, The Matrix, Kill Bill, Looper, Dark Knight, Inception, Stranger Things, Tokyo's delayed 2020 Olympics, the Trapper Keeper episode of South Park, and all of the Western world's exposure to anime. It is truly an incredibly influential and important movie.
Yeah.
Whether it works
for
you.
Can I add a couple? Can I add a couple just off the top of my head?
Yeah, go on. Go on.
So obviously something like Stranger Things.
Yeah, you just said that.
But also.
yeah, that's one that I said. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's, do you want to add Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z as well? Or
Cowboy Bebop 2?
There's a superhero film which I love, and if
Dark Knight. I've told you that already.
No, Chronicle.
Yes.
If you haven't seen the superhero film Chronicle, go watch it. It's excellent, and the sort of showdown that happens, and the sort of story of the main character in that is essentially exactly the same as Tetsuo's in this film. Bullied or
My
sort
name
of
is
feels
Tetsuo.
Slighted, gets.
What?
gets powers, becomes a sort of apex predator, and has a showdown with essentially a family member, and it's excellent. So if you haven't seen Chronicle, go check it out. It's literally a carbon copy of this film.
Lovely shout, thank you for that addition. All right, gentlemen, I think it is time for the quiz. Welcome to the patented quiz section of the How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That episodes of Fan Critical Podcasts. In this quiz, John McCann, you will need to answer. Well, because this is how serious it is.
Ah, sorry.
John McCann.
You will have 6 questions to answer. You will need to answer 3 of those questions correctly to receive the badge of watchedness.
And you have to watch it again if you don't get 3. And I know you don't want to do that.
I've got it on.
All right. Just on listen, I've got 6 questions here for you. We'll see how you go in halfway through. And now, question number one. You're going to love this. Question number one. What is the name of the fellow gang member that Tetsuo kills in the bar?
Yamaguchi?
Oh, do you know what?
Go on.
You're wrong. But I'm going to give it to you. I think. It's
Yamagata.
It is Len, yes. I'm going to be generous, and I'll give you...
Because it's a regional...
Got the Yama bit.
Yeah, it's a regional pronunciation,
it's a regional
isn't it?
Regional dialect.
Yeah. But remember, he's from Tokyo, so...
Yeah, but I'm Korean, so obviously we say it differently. Yeah?
True. McCann is spelt very differently to how listeners might imagine. All right, well done. That's 100% so far. To get into the secret lab, Kay and her resistance gang pretend that they're there for a particular job. What job is it that they pretend they're there to do?
Don't remember at all.
I can't accept that answer. Len,
I can't remember. Is it sanitation? I'm being really stupid here, or something like that.
I'm going for something slightly more specific. They're there to replace some cables. Replace some cables.
It was essentially what I was thinking, but just less honestly poo and piss and more cables. Yeah, got you.
Anything to do with the resistance? I zoned out. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah.
Okay.
Vive la resistance.
The next question is: the resistance are no I'm joking. Here you go. You got this. In the hospital scene, the aforementioned hospital scene, what are the three toys that walk across Tetsuo's bed?
Oh, and you'll I will never need... get this, Gaz.
What? This? Mm. I thought this was easy.
You'll get like two of them, I reckon.
A toy car. Toy car?
Oh, that's the one I thought would be hard. Yes.
Okay. Is there like a bunny? Is there a bunny there?
Yes.
All right, okay.
Yes.
Ooh.
He's got it on in the background.
No, look. You know, there's nothing on my hands. I did just look at the screen, but it's turned off.
Yeah, you literally looked away. That's suspicious.
I don't know, a teddy bear. Like a bear.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Come on.
I mean...
Scored more goals than Arsenal there, John. That's good.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, excellent. I did that on the first answer.
Excellent. That's also true. Kaizaki is a member of the gang, of the biker gang. He wears a tie.
Here we go. He'll never get this, guess.
Right.
What colour is
he? He doesn't even know who Kaizaki is.
What colour is his shirt?
What?
Oh,
yeah, I know. Not even his tie. I'm just...
fucking hell.
Oh, my word. I think I know.
I mean, what colour's the tie?
That was going to be my little follow-up question if you didn't get the shirt. Right, okay. I was going to give you a second op.
Right, for the shirt, I mean, it's just weird and it's a weird time, so I'm going to go with a green shirt.
Len, what are your thoughts on that as an answer?
See, now, when you said shirt, it kind of threw me off. I thought it was green as a green shirt. I know he wears a green jacket, and I thought it was like a light greeny type shirt, so I'm going to stick with John's answer on that one.
Correct. It was a green shirt. Now, not for any points. Do you know what colour his tie was?
His tie's red. His tie's red with red and black. Red and black, I think, like Dennis the Menace or something.
Just plain red, I think.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. Excellent, yeah, John. The good news is, mate. The good news is you've got three out.
Turn
of
it off.
Out
Thank
of four
fuck.
So far.
Yeah, but technically he hasn't because we gave him the first one. But yeah.
No, absolutely not. No, you can't.
Yeah, I might. Actually, that's half a mark. So you're on two and a half.
VAR has ruled that.
No, I'm not
as
watching
half
it.
A mark.
So.
Listen, that's how long it takes. That is how long it takes for VAR to come back and rob you of any sense of glory you've had. Do you want another colour based one? I'll give you another colour based.
I mean, you're the quiz master. Fucking hell!
What colour? What colour is the pill on Kaneda's jacket? Or what colours, plural, I should say?
White and red, surely.
No.
It's white and black.
Also no.
White and
colours
pink.
Are
white and pink.
Blue and red / pink.
Blue?
So
yeah.
Pink then. So
Must watch a different version.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched the white instead of blue version. Yeah.
I watched the colourblind assisted version, so slag me off.
I watched the special edition, so
yeah. Okay.
It's a bit different.
Can you name one, I just need one to get a point here, one sponsor on Canada's bike?
Canon is one.
That's all you need. You can keep going if you want.
Do you know what? I won't humiliate myself. Canon. I think like Timex or some shit. I don't know, but Canon is definitely one.
Timex making companies now.
Timex, Clockbok,
Schlocky,
Byko,
Schlocky,
Byko,
Byko, gang member. No, well done. Canon was one of them. That's excellent work. I would have also accepted Grimace. Citizen. Grimace's accounting, and Shui. There were also some other sponsors who I was hoping you wouldn't say because I recognised the logo, but I couldn't remember what company they were. So I'm glad you didn't say
Kids, yeah.
those. But Canon is acceptable. So well done, J-Mac. You have got yourself a pretty tasty 4 out of 6.
Technically 3 out of 6.
Congratulations.
4 out of 6. So
3.5 out of 6. And that is enough to see you through. You get the stamp of approval. Well done. You have now watched Akira.
Good.
Good stuff.
And that that wraps us up for tonight.
Well, it doesn't, Gareth, because we've got to reveal what we're covering next.
Well, that's what I meant, in a way.
Fucking hack.
Have we... Hold on.
Wanker.
Because... Hold on. Wait.
Little short shit man.
Yeah.
This is still my podcast. So give me a sec. So I think it's my turn. I don't think I've been the victim of one of these for a long time since I did RoboCop. Maybe the first episode ever. And I have dug deep into my closet of shame.
It's RoboCop 3, isn't it?
It's RoboCop. RoboCop. Hey, RoboCop again. I actually pretended that I'd seen it for the first one. No. Okay. All right. This is bad, and I feel like I have never pretended more than I've pretended to watch this film so many times, and so many times it gets referenced, and so many times.
Imagine
I've
one even... second. You've pretended to watch this film so many times. I've just got this image of you just sat pretending to watch TV and imagining that you're watching this film.
I'll tell you what I did last night. I watched this film, didn't I? Oh yeah. Yeah, honest, I did. So don't say that I didn't. Okay.
Can I tell you as well, I've given opinions on this film to people in like full sincerity. I've been like, yeah, you know, I like it, but it's not in my top five Disney movies, Pixar movies.
Disney movie.
There you go. Yeah. Narrowed it down. It's bad. It's really bad. And I feel like if any of my friends listen to this, I will have fewer friends. I'm ashamed to say I have never seen Finding Nemo.
Fucking hell.
Oh my word. That's one of the best ones.
How's that?
Well, no, as I've said, it's not one of my favourites. I like it, obviously.
Why?
it hasn't got the heart of Monsters,
it'll be a nice change of pace for us to talk about a Pixar animation, which is something I don't think we've done before, so that'll be fun.
That's sort of like someone saying I've never seen Toy Story or like Aladdin or something.
It's not
I can tell you this for a fact, it is not as good as Toy Story.
Toy Story is amazing, but Finding Nemo is a very special film, so I'm excited for you to watch it. Maybe we can watch it together. Maybe we can get really drunk, watch Spirited Away, and then wake up the next day really hungover, and then order some like little takeaway and watch Finding Nemo. It's a perfect Sunday film, cuddled up on the couch.
Let's order fish and chips.
Oh, God, no.
Finding Nemo.
Poor little bastards.
Yeah. Yep. Big fan of that.
There you go. And then good you can idea. Watch Spirited Away
Gaz,
again.
Gaz, no, I'm sorry, Gaz. There's a time and a place for that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
very good. Very good. Yeah. Very yeah. good.
Yeah. Hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, you caught us off. You caught us off guard there.
Oh, I see what you've done there. I see what you've done there.
Yeah.
It's good.
Anyway. All right.
I'm having a whale of a time.
Oh, hello. he's coming up just for the halibut. He's just for the halibut.
Right, all right, we haven't got enough time to gill. Yeah. We haven't got enough time to gill here. Let's wrap it up. And
how many in a row are we going to do? How many in a row?
Right, that's it.
Okay, that's sorry.
Just trying to think of scampi.
Let's scampi out of it. Oh, I don't know, it's terrible.
So shit, honestly. Good reef.
Yeah.
It's good, honestly. Just straight off the top of my head. It's good. That's not a pun, by the way.
Man.
Hammerhead. No, okay. Go on.
All right. That is enough. We're done.
Finn.
Just
hey, that's it. Go.
Now that is genuinely the end.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, that does bring us to the end of this episode.
Honestly, so shit. It's so shit.
Too much.
Yeah, it is too much. Yeah. Right.
I'm going to stop thinking about them. We're done. There are no more. All right. Thank you very much, John, for being here and watching Akira and giving it 4 bloobs, even though maybe it wasn't quite for you. And Len, thank you very much for, being on the right side of this debate and being in my biker gang.
Against the clown
that is John, the clown fish. There you go.
No,
there
Gav, thank you missed. For being my Tetsuo to my Kaneda.
Yeah, I knew that's what you were thinking when you were talking about their relationship. I wasn't going to bring it up.
You do. You feel like slighted constantly, and then you try and use your superpowers on me, and it turns out I'm just the best and try and save you anyway.
Rubbish, yeah.
Nice one. Yeah. And thank you, listener, for listening into our podcast. Please... Yes, you. That's
you,
right.
Not you, Grimace, you fucking drunk. Get out of here.
Get back to your work. Lunch break's over, Grimace. Do keep an eye out on Fan Critical channels, see what we're up to. What else we got coming up, Len?
Stuff, John? Mate. Stuff. It's just all the things. Don't promise what we cannot deliver. More of these, if anything.
More of these coming up, coming for your ear holes, including Finding Nemo. So we'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.